Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening.
Well, good evening, everybody. Here it is once more and again, Wednesday night, an inspirational Wednesday. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and we come together on Wednesday night to fellowship and explore the Word of God together. We come to be fed by the Word of God that can help us in our lives. You know, I always say that this is not my Bible study, but it's our Bible study. And I pray that each of us begin to participate in any way or manner that God has given you to. As always, you know, I first have to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come here and to be with us as we explore the Word of God together. I first have to give honor and glory to God, the author and the finisher of my faith, his darling son Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. To the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our God. And I just invite the Holy Ghost to be in each and every one of you hearts on tonight. And I ask that you have the spirit of expectancy, expecting that you're going to receive the intended purpose that God sent out for it to accomplish. Holy Ghost, we realize, and I realize, and I tell you guys all the time, I can only give information. But it's the Holy Ghost that gives illumination and revelation and bring things back to your memory that you may have studied or that you may have been pondering on. So tonight, as always, we're going to go ahead in with prayer. And because we have to go to the throne of grace, the God's throne of grace, so that everything will be in order. As always, I ask if anybody would like to pray. And if you do, you can press the one button on your phone. And I'll open the mic and you'll be able to pray. And if not, we're going to go into prayer. And I want you to know that the night lesson is hold on. God will give you double for your trouble. And the underlining part to that is, because the question is asked over and over in these verses, why do bad things happen to good people? We're coming from the book of Job. We're going to be in the 42nd chapter. We're going to read verses and study verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to pick up verse 10. We are in Job, for all you Bible scholars who has your Bibles and your paper and pencil. This is Bible study. So for those who don't have your Bibles but may have a Bible in your home, you know, we use the Word of God in this Bible study. And it's coming from Job, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to conclude it with verse 10. Hold on. God will give you double for your trouble, with an underlining message. Why do bad things happen to good people? So at this time, we're going to go ahead and go into prayer. I see that no one has pressed the button to pray. Oh, I do have one. Matter of fact, I have two, so I'm going to let both of you pray. So first we have Madison Chambers. That's my grandson, 10 years old. Plenty of times he come by and he call in and pray for us, or pray with us. So, Madison, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
And you want to say anything to the people tonight, or you just want to pray?
Pray.
Okay, you can pray.
God, thank you for another Wednesday, another day that we learn about you. And please let the people's ear open up so they can get all the knowledge that they need tonight, Lord. Thank you for waking us up to be able to see this day and see our family members and do what we have to do to make money. And let the money keep us with health, able to feed us and get us and able to do our bills thank you, God, for just watching over us so we could do good. And thank you, God, for letting our promises that we promised you sometimes come true. Because when we sin, we always have to ask for forgiveness. And thank you that you sent your son so we don't have to, but we always supposed to, because that way remember what Jesus did so we can go to heaven with him. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. I thank you for calling in and taking time from your schedule. If your time allows you, you can stay on the program a little while. And if not, I understand because it is a school night. But as always, I am so grateful that you called, and thank you for that beautiful blessing and that prayer. And you be blessed, okay? You be blessed, okay?
Yes,
Madison?
Ma'am. Yes?
Be blessed and do well in school on tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Good night.
Good night, Mama.
And I have another caller that pressed their button to pray. Caller, your number is 504-377-29. Your mic is open, and you can address us at this time.
Thank you, Sister Diane. I'd like to say love and blessings to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd like to just give a prayer of opening. Father God,
thank you. And
thank
who is
you.
This calling?
I'm sorry, this is Brother Freddie calling.
Okay, Brother Freddie, thank you for tuning in with us tonight, and it's a pleasure to have you here, and thank you for the prayer that you're going to offer up. You may address everyone at this time.
Thank you, my sister. Father God, I just thank you for your love and your mercies. I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for everything that you've done for us this day. Father God, I ask that you decrease our flesh and increase the spirit within each and every one of us, Father. I ask that we use our ears to hear and have an open mind, Father, that we may be able to speak boldly your word, and within our hearts we feel the Holy Spirit and feel the love, for you are love. Father, thanks for allowing our sister Diane to bring forth your word with authority, and may it pierce our hearts and our minds. So, Father, as we come together on one accord, we all say thank you. And we just want to say thank you for all those family members that are represented here this evening. So as we go forth, Father, I ask that you just come boldly and let you take control of the study. Father, we thank you, we love you, and all our saints say amen.
Amen. Oh, Brother Freddie, we thank you for that prayer. And we thank you for calling in, and we hope that you continue to join us. We are on this we have this Blog Talk station, and that phone number that everybody has been calling, that's available, and we're on every Wednesday at 8:30, unless, you know, there's something going on. And I think this year I've only missed one lesson, and due to scheduling, I won't be able to be on the program next Wednesday. So I want you guys to know that, and I'm saying it not before I forget. But I won't be on next Wednesday. But I'll keep going on, you know, coming back and being on after that. So I just wanted to say thank you for the prayer warriors that went before the throne of grace in our behalf. I just want y'all to know that there are so many prayer requests being asked of. We got one of the ladies that's on the phone tonight. Her little cousin is gone, went to surgery today. I haven't heard the outcome, but I pray that it's all well with him. One of the other ladies that be on the program, I don't know if she's on here tonight, but her daughter went to the hospital, and she's with her tonight. And I'm asking that you lift her up in prayer. And it's amazing, as many prayer requests that we get, we also get praise reports. Sister Rosemary that was on with us, and she gave a testimony that she had. They had found a lump in her breast, and then they did the biopsy, and they found out that it was cancer. She went, and she had the surgery, and the other day she went to the hospital, and she called to let me know that she don't have to take any chemo or any radiation. They say that, you know, she's fine. So we have to stay prayed up, not just for ourselves, but for other people. And this is also a forum where you can ask for prayer and prayer can be given out for you. So, again, thank you, prayer warriors. And I know some of the people who haven't pressed the button when the prayer requests come up, I know they're praying as well. And to you guys, I say thank you. Right now at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is so appropriate because our lesson title tonight, for those who have just called in, I see we have a lot of other callers called in since I announced the title. But tonight is Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And it's saying, hold on, God will and can give you double for your trouble. We coming out of the book of Job, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 6, and we're going to pick up verse 10. So at this time, I'm going to play a song called Hold On by Kirk Franklin because it ties into the lesson. And when the music is through playing, we're going to go straight into the lesson. Thank you.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
Yeah.
And that song, just as well as our topic tonight, Hold On. You know, we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and at all times be ready to confess the confession of our faith. You know, our strength don't get knocked down by things, and well, shouldn't be knocked down by things, circumstances, and situations. But in all of this, just like Job, we have to realize that we are only human. But, you know, the word of God is still the strength. The word of God is still the power. The word of God is still the direction. The word of God is still the beginning to all ends. So I say to you, hold on. God can and will give you trouble, give you double for your trouble. Now tonight, you know, I always do a background, and tonight's background is going to be the character of the scriptures of the book of Job. And I want you to know that Job was not the author of the book. So this is not Job writing himself, but it's whoever decided to write it is really a testimony of Job. And that's a good thing. We have to remember that the word of God was inspired by God but written by man. And we always have to see, when we see characters in the Bible and see the life that they had, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we have to ask ourselves certain things. We have to ask ourselves, what is God trying to show us through the life of somebody else? Because you know it is said, if you learn from the mistakes of others, then you won't probably have to experience them yourself. So when you see different characters in the Bible, you know, God is either telling you one or two things. He's either showing you and telling you what to do, or showing or telling you what not to do. So as we begin with the book of Job, I thought about it, and I had to go back to let you know how it all started. I know many of you are familiar with the book of Job, and I pray that God and the Holy Ghost give you some illumination with it tonight. But just follow through, and we're going to just walk it together, and then we can ask questions. You could add to it, and I would appreciate it. So Job 6. Now, there was a day when the Son of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also coming along with them. Now, how you like that? The sons of God, they're talking about the angels, but they are coming to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was, he came along with them. And the 7th verse said, and God said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forward on it. What you think he was walking back and forward for? He's walking to see who he may devour. You see, the scripture says the Satan, the adversary, is seeking who he may devour. So he told God, I'm walking back to and fro. He wasn't walking to do anything good. He's trying to see who he could try to pluck out of the hands of God. And then the 8th verse said, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fear God and shun evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? What Satan was saying, yeah, he, Job probably all right with you because, you know, Job got it going on. And, you know, and then he asked him, he said, and he said, have you built a hedge around him? You know, you done built a hedge around him and around his household and all that he has on every side. He told God, you have blessed the works of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. Satan was saying, yeah, Job praised you because of what he got, for what you did for him, for, you know, different things like that. So he said, is he praising you for nothing? God said, I know the heart of Job. And this is how everything started with Job. We went from the beginning, and that was in Job, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 10. So God was telling Satan, you know, try Job. Test him. He said, you could have your way with him. He said, but just don't take his life. So here we see that it was only a test. So this lets us know that God will test us. Sometimes the trials and tribulations we're going through is for God to mature us. Plenty of times, and sometimes it could be the consequences of our actions. But we go through things, but through it all, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. You see, the life of Job is proof that man usually has no idea what God is doing behind the scenes in the life of each believer. All humans ask the question sometime or another, why do bad things happen to good people? You see, it is an age-old question and different to answer and difficult to answer. But believers know that God is always in control. So I could tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, I could say this again, God is in control. And no matter what happens, there are no coincidences. Nothing happened by chance, and everything happened for a reason in its own season. You see, Job was a believer. He knew that God was on the throne and in control, though he had no way of knowing why so many terrible things was occurring in his life. He knew God was in control. He knew God loved him. And I guess he was trying to put sense and reasoning in why this was going on with him. You see, Job never lost his faith in God, even under the most heartbreaking circumstances that tested him to his core. You're talking about a test. This was a test. You see, it's hard to imagine. You know, now let's just look at this for a while. You know, everybody got something, and everybody is going through something, and we sympathize and we empathize, and we realize that God said that he will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. He will never let nothing be used that is not already common to man. You know, and sometimes people say, well, I was crying because I didn't have no shoes. I walked down a block and I saw a man with no feet. You know what I'm saying? You know, some people could say, oh, you know, and I get it all the time, you know, my mother just died. And I say, well, how old was she? They say 86. I say, well, that's a good blessing because my mother died when I was 11. You know, but, you know, when we going through it, no matter if you know, it's my mother or their mother, they missing their mother. But let's just look at it. There's nothing new under the sun, and everything that has happened is going to happen. And if it haven't happened to you, not keep living. And if it haven't happened to you, it has happened to someone. You see, it should be hard to imagine losing everything you own in one day. For those who didn't know, when this happened with Job, he lost all his property, all his possessions, and all of his children in one day. Most men would sink into depression and even become suicidal after a nightmare. However, Job never wavered in his understanding that God is still in control. And you see, when you learn to trust God, you're only saying that God knows best. And you have to be strong enough, and you get your faith to that place where you say, if God, you know, nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed it. And if he orchestrated it, well, it's his will. And if he's allowing it, it's his will. And it's, oh, well, and I believe he's going to work it out for my good. And you try to keep going. I'm not saying it's easy, and it don't always happen that fast. And as we see in the book of Job, even Job had that kind of faith. But sometimes we get weary, overwhelmed with our situation. You see, Job had three friends. And his friends came around. Instead of comforting him, they gave him bad advice and even accused him of committing sin so grave that God was punishing him with the misery. You see, Job knew God. Come on now. You see, sometimes people going to come and tell you something. Oh, you this, oh, you that. No, you is this. And, oh, you not that. You shouldn't be doing it that way. You should be doing it this way. But you see, you got to know God for yourself, because 2 Timothy 2:15 told us to study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the truth, because we need that for ourselves. If we don't have the word of God for ourselves, then we can only accept what someone else say. But you see, Job knew God well enough to know that he did not work that way. In fact, he had such an intimate personal relationship with him that he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. And that's found in Job 13 and 15. You see, Job's plight from the death of his children, the loss of his property, to the physical torment he endured. You know, I give you the lesson like this, and I give you enough to, if you don't know it all, to be inquisitive enough to go find it out. But you read the book of Job, and you will find many things out. You know, when God, after Satan had did so many things to Job, Satan came back and he couldn't move him with taking his stuff and taking his house and taking his family and taking his cattle and destroying his livelihood. He couldn't get him. But you see, Satan couldn't do no more without God's permission. You see, Satan can do certain things in and through our lives, but not without the permission of God. We see that fear. So Satan went back, and then he wanted to destroy his health, and he did, and he put barrels all on him. So, you know, that then, you know, he got the physical torture now. And then his so-called friends making all of these accusations never caused his faith to waver. You see, his wife asked him to curse God and die, but he knew who his Redeemer was, and he knew he was a living Savior, and he knew that someday he would physically stand on earth. Check it out in Job 19 and 25. You see, he understand that man's days are ordained, which mean numbered, and they cannot be changed. What is obvious from these accounts is that Satan is busy walking, working his evil on earth. Come on now. It is amazing to see how Satan was big enough and bad enough to challenge God. He had no scruples about going to the Most High. None at all. You see, the account of Job shows Satan as he truly is. He's just evil to the core. You see, perhaps the greatest lesson we learn from the book of Job is that God does not have to answer to anyone for what he does. Or what he does not do. You see, when we get in the book of Job, we see that Job had a lot of questions for God, and you know, God wasn't ready to reveal his answers till he was ready, and he was allowing Satan to test Job, but God knew the ultimate plan, that he was going to take care of the situation. You see, Job's experience teaches us that we may never know the specific reason for some of the sufferings we're going through. You may not. And the Bible teaches us that we may understand by and by. But we must trust in the sovereignty, the holy, righteous God. His ways are perfect. Since God's ways are perfect, we can trust that whatever he does and whatever he allows is also perfect. You know, God had a master plan for this world, and he started it and orchestrated it before the beginning of the foundation. You do not have the privilege, you are not afforded the privilege to try to decide how God should do it and why he should do it and how he should do it, because that's what you want. You see, right now we just saw that God does not have to answer anybody for what he does, but in it he's worked it out and it's all good. Trust him. How many times Satan set you up and set you up for the bad, but God turned it around for the good? God is in control. Trust him. We can't expect to understand God's mind perfectly. As he reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. You see, our responsibility to God is to obey him, to trust him, and to submit for his will. See if you can master these three things. See if we can master these three things, it will be oh happy day. Obey, trust, submit. Whether we understand it or not, whether we understand what God is telling us to do, directing us to do, leading us to do. Maybe we don't understand it, but trust him, obey him, and submit. When we do, we will find God in the midst of our trials and possibly even because of our trials. So hold on. God can give you double for your trouble. And we will go into answer more of why bad things happen to good people. You know, once we decided to accept Christ as our Savior, we became Christians, we became a new creature, we became the heirs and the joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we became his children. We did all of that, but don't think that's going to alleviate you from trials, tribulations, adversities, circumstances and situations that may not be comfortable to you. You know, I could give an example. You know, if you look at Katrina, when Katrina came and wet the city, it wet Christian houses. You know, it wet the big preachers' houses who we may think is, you know, real close to God. It wet the priests' houses. It wet the nuns' houses. You see what I'm saying? Just because you love the Lord, that do not exempt you from trouble. Because in the book of James, James said, when you fall into divers of temptation. He didn't say if. He said, but when. And that's letting us know. And this is the good news. No matter what you may be going through, the difference for you is who you go through it with. And let the church say amen. And we're going to start with the scripture. We're on Job 42. We're going to do verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to pick up on 10. But I'm going to read, and we're going to go into to break it down some. But Job is the character, and I hope you got some insight what happened. Remember, Satan was going around. God allowed him to test Satan, to test Job. He took everything that Job had. He destroyed his health. You know, Job's friends was, you know, really guesstimating, I don't know if that's a word, but that's the best way for me to say it, you know, on why this is happening. You must have did something really bad, and if you didn't do it, your mom and them must have did it. You know, people could see something going on in your life and even go back to, you know, why it's happening that way. But, you know, sometime in this case, it was only a test, and they couldn't assume. Well, they did assume a lot of things. But the 42nd chapter, verse 1 says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not. Things are too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes see thee. Therefore I offer myself and repent in ash and dust and ashes. All right, let's say this. The 42nd chapter of Job is the last chapter in the book of Job. You know, we started off with the first verse and it showed that Job was, you know, Satan was going around and God allowed, you know, this test to go on. And then Job's friends came and they couldn't understand, you know, Job, you done lost this, you done lost that. And they kept saying, you must have did this, you must have did that. You know, you need to confess, you need to repent, you need to fall before God. And Satan said, I mean, Job said, you know, I don't have no sins like that, man. He said, you know, really and truly. And they kept on and they kept on and they kept on and they kept on. And then you see, and part of some of Job's overwhelmness when you read the Bible, he never denounced his faith. He never gave up on God, but he did get tired. And Job began to question life and God and troubles and circumstances and situations. If you read through the book, you know, he said, why is this and why is that and how do you allow that? And, you know, that's the kind of things he started questioning God. And, you know, some people will tell you that it's a sin to question God. It's not a sin to question God, but, you know, it might be a sin the way you question him. You know, God is holy, and we should give reverence unto him. You know, if you ask God a question or you think a question, God knows it anyway. But you go before him, walk before him humbly, and ask him what you want. So sometime in the Bible, after the friends got on Job, and then Job began to ask God these questions. But right now we're in the 42nd chapter, and after everything had been said and done, this is where Job finally gets it. You see, 42 and 1 say, then Job asked the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that has counsel without knowledge? Job said, I was saying all this and I was thinking all this, but I didn't really have the knowledge. Come on now. Therefore, I uttered that I understood not. Job is bowing down, you know, from the questions and a little sense of entitlement. You know, there are so many people with a sense of entitlement in this world today. It is pathetic. You know, some people say, why me? Why not you? How could you let this happen to me? If not going to happen to you, then happen to who? You see, but Job, at the point now, he got it. He said, which I knew not. Job said, I talked the talk, but I was speaking from my earthly vision and my carnal knowledge and my limited knowledge. You see, he said, then he said, for here I beseech ye and I beseech thee and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee. This is the good part. Job now saying 5, and he's talking to God. Job said, I had heard of thee by the hearing in my ears. Come on now. Job said, I done heard a lot of studies about you and a lot of messages about you with my ears. And Job said, right now at this point in my life, he said, but now my eyes sees thee. You know, that's why we can say that a lot of people know of God, but some people don't know God. Some people love God, and some people are in love with God. And you see, it's amazing that it took all the way for the 42nd chapter for Job to get it. But the lesson is he got it. You got to hold on until God decides to give you double for your trouble. You got to hold on wherever you are in your life. That's why it's so critical we can't go around, you know, talking about somebody because they've been in church for 10 years and they should know better. You know, they're going to know better when they know better. Just because you know better in that little particular area don't make you the guru a better. You know, everybody get things at their own time, and until you got it, you didn't have it either. But you see, it took Job to the 42nd chapter, and he said, I got it, but now my eyes see thee. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent. Come on now. You see, in the previous chapters, Job questioned God about life, his suffering. But now Job's understand his humanity and being a human in a different way. And he talk of this, you know, this word humanity, I use it because you see that saying man and then there's God. But Job understood his humanity in a new way. He had an encounter with God that caused him to reevaluate his perspective. Job repented of complaining, not of a sin. Come on now. You see, at this point, Job felt so godly sorry, so he repented. But he repented for complaining, as he now know that God is sovereign. His spiritual eyes, come on now, has been opened, and he humbled himself. Okay, so what this telling us? Sometimes we don't have to repent or ask forgiveness for sins that we commit. We sometimes have to repent from complaining. Hallelujah. And we have to humble ourselves. You see, he repented of his complaining. You see, Job now answered the Lord by admitting that he was foolish. Job finally got it. He had a lot of ear knowledge hearing about the things of God, but now his eyes was open and now he see God for who he truly is. Throughout the book, his friends had asked him to admit his sin and ask for forgiveness. Eventually, Job did indeed repent. You see, Job's repentance was not the kind called for by his friends. Job didn't have any secret sins, but for questioning God's sovereignty and justice. You know, when you know, the way he was going there, like, why you, like that. You know, that's questioning God's power and his justice. You see, Job had to repent for his attitude of entitlement, in a sense. It wasn't even the questions that he asked, but the way they was asked. You see, we should never try to be on God's level. You're not going to make it. You will lose. You see, Job listened. You know, God listened to all that Job had to say, and this is the most sweetest thing that I ever came, one of the sweetest things that I came in the Bible. You see, Job, you know, God and Satan allowed the test. The friends came, they talked to Job bad, and all the while they kept talking and trying to study life and trying to figure it out. And then Job was questioning God, and all of this was going on. Read your book of Job. But you see, now God listened to all that Job had to say to him, and he answered him between the 38 and the 41 verse, and we started tonight with the 42nd so you could build it up and understand how it's laid out. Then the Lord answered Job out of a stone. He said, come on now, go to Job 38 and 1 so y'all can find it in the Bible. You see, he said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? This is God talking right now, baby. You see, the first verse say, then God answered Job out of a stone. That's verse 1. Verse 2, he said, who is this darkening my counsel with words without knowledge? God was telling Job, man, you don't have a clue. You don't even know what time of day it is. You know, you truly think you got it going on and you know something and you don't. So that's what God was telling him now. And then God told him in verse 3, he said, brace yourself like a man. He said, now I will question you and you will answer me. Come on now, God showing him, you know. And then folks say, this is the bomb. God asked Job, where were you when I laid the earth foundation? He said, now I will ask you and you will answer. And it goes on to beautiful things like that. God starts talking about the birds and the bees, the flower and the trees, the moon and the salt, how he put it all together and told Job, were you there? And I think one time in the scripture between the 38 and the 42nd verse, he told him one time, he said, now maybe you was there. And I don't remember, so tell me not. So that's what started going on in them chapters. You see, when God, when he let Job know that he was in charge from the beginning of time and in control and will be in control through eternity, God was showing him that. You see, God did that in the 38 and the 41 verse. All of that is God letting Job know who he is. And that's how Job in the 42nd verse was able to fall on his face and understand who God truly was, and his spiritual eyes was open. And so on and so on. You see, God's questions were too deep for Job to comprehend. And, of course, he wouldn't be able to answer. So we're going to take a glimpse at the verse 10 in the Bible, because this is important. And verse 10 said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. He turned it around, is what it's saying. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's Job 42 and 10. I'm going to read it again. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, Job is right here they're saying Job praying for his friends, the same one who accused and on. And the Lord gave Job, come on now, after he prayed for his friends, now, at some point Job may have begun feeling his friends was his enemy. But Job had to pray for them, and when he did, he got twice as much as he had before. Thus, Job had suffered financial loss, emotional pain, and physical suffering to a degree that most never will or ever know. There's only one thing left, mental abuse. And this came from his closest friends who began to accuse him falsely of what unforgivable, unrepentant sin which would deserve of his punishment from God. You know, they telling him, this is consequences for your action. Come on now, how many people believe that? Everybody, there's consequences for action, but, you know, Job said he knew God too well to know that God didn't work like that. You see, last of all, Job's wife turned against him and advised him to do exactly as Satan had said he would. Looked like she on Satan's side, huh? She told him, curse God and die. You see, these two verses in Job is the only place where Mrs. Job is mentioned in the story. It seemed as if she was in agreement with Satan. You see, Job's friend didn't understand what was really going on. And by the way, before I go on, you know, some people say Job got a new wife, Job. The scripture does not say what happened to Job's wife. And the Bible teaches us don't add nothing or take it away. And that these scriptures say that the lesson is telling us that this is the only place where Job's wife is mentioned in the story. You see, Job's friends didn't understand what was going on with Job. And they were guesstimating. Yeah, that's the word I'm making up again. They thought that Job must have done something so wrong to be causing him to have so much tragedy and suffering. Little did they know that it was only a test. God was allowing him to be tested so that God would get the glory. See, God allows us to go through some things because that's where he gets his glory. Sometimes when people is going through something, you should not act as if you have all of the answers. You see, at this time, Job needed encouragement, not chastising. How many times someone's going in your life and they want to chastise you at that moment? If it didn't already happen, and even if it's at your own hand, chastising is not the time because you can't erase what happened. You see, God held his friends for not knowing and acting as if they did. You see, that's the sin they commit. That's what God held them for. How many people we know like that act like they know what's going on and they don't? You see, and Job's wife asked him to curse God and die. And she even told him, die at your own hands. And Job answered her and said, thou speakest a foolish woman. You see, Job's friends and wife became a thorn in his side. Do you have any thorns in your side? It could be family members. It could be neighbors. You know, they became a thorn in his side. The scripture says God held the friends in contempt. Come on now. So is it wrong for doing that, talking to people as if you know and you know you don't know, or giving them bad advice or accusing them? Yes, it is. But you see, that was judging. And the scripture said that God held the friends in contempt. No other words is given concerning Job's wife. But the Lord called Job's friends to account for their bad advice and counsel. God is now holding them accountable for their actions. They spoke for God when they didn't truly understand God. In fact, God said they did not speak about him correctly. They accused Job and did not have the right to do so. As a result, their sins had to be atoned for, and they must rely on the prayers of the one whom they sought to accuse, and that was Job. See, in the end, you see, God was holding the friends accountable, and they had to answer for all that they was doing and all that they were saying and not doing what, you know, Christians should do for one another. You know, do you think you're going to be in that position? Will you be held accountable for not encouraging and not just sometimes listening and not trying to give a kind word to someone when they're suffering? You know, are you going to stand back like Job's friends and say, well, you know, this wouldn't be happening to them if they didn't do A, B, C, you know, and this wouldn't be happening to them if they didn't E, F, G? How you know? Posing as God's doing a test. And you could, you know, if you're doing something like that and you continue to do it, the scripture tonight is letting us know God held them all accountable. And he considered it what they was doing as sin. And a sin had to be atoned for. And it had to be by the accuser, which was Job. How many times there's somebody that we need to pray for, and for whatever reason, we just don't want to pray for them, for that person, for whatever reason. Or not, or do we believe they don't deserve your prayer? How can we hold prayer back on anybody? Why would we hold prayer back from anybody? But you see, it happens to us because we human, and we looking, like Job said, he was looking out his natural eyes, and then his spiritual eyes was open. So we're going to make mistakes, but the word of God becomes our compass. And it helps guide us into all righteousness and truth. But now Job had to pray for his friends. You see, in the end, the scripture said that Job prayed for his friends. And once he prayed for his friends, and he had repented earlier, when I told you he didn't repent for sins that he had did, but he repented because of complaining. And not so much the question he asked, but the man and the attitude in which he asked him. So Job had repented for himself, and now he had prayed for his friends. And the scriptures say God gave him twice as much as he had before. And as I close tonight, you see, Job prayed for his friends, and the Lord accepted his prayer. You see, Job's prayer, you know, was accepted by God because Job was in order. And Job listened to what he had to, you know, God asked of him to do. And you see, Job had already repented, not for his sins, but for his ignorance and pride. You see, when we humble ourselves to God, sometimes we have to just say, God, I just don't know. God, I just messed up. God, I should be more mature than I am. You see, Job repented for his ignorance and pride. You know, they say there's destruction with pride. And you see, God reversed Job's situation. And he brings him out of captivity. And God gave him double for his trouble. And the last thing I'm going to say tonight and hold on to it. You see, God knew the whole story while Job only knew a piece of the story. And that's what's happening plenty of times in our lives. God knows the whole story. And with him knowing it, he's orchestrating and allowing, and he's working it out together for your good. You know, Satan will try us. And Satan will test us. But you see, before Satan can do anything of us, the book of Job lets us know that he has to go to God for permission. So that's that's victory in itself. And just because you love the Lord don't mean you're not going to have problems. Don't mean you're not going to be lonely sometime. It doesn't mean that, you know, your heart won't be broken and your finances will be funny and your job may be lost and your house may be up for foreclosure. And, you know, it doesn't mean all of that. But we have to keep ourselves in position. And one of the things we do is trust God, submit to God, and obey to him. And we should try to do everything that we know we should do to keep ourselves in order so that God can continue to bless us. So tonight I just tell you, hold on. it's not over until God says it's over. And everything happened in seasons. Wait on him. He's right there. He never left you. He never will. And God doesn't change. And what God has done for one, he'll do for you as well. And I pray that everybody be blessed, and that's our lesson for tonight. You know, in the Sunday school at church, the book of Job has been going through for the whole month, and I just had, you know, so much of Job, you know, in my mind, I decided to write a paper on it. And for those who go to church and those who go to Sunday school, you know, it was on Job, so you may have something to interject into the lesson that I may have not said that can help somebody. Anybody who would like to add to this, if you'd like to make a comment, a concern, remember, I always tell you guys, I don't know everything. And this is our Bible study, and everybody can join in. And they could say, you know, something about Job, something about the lesson, ask for prayer, give a praise report, anything that you want. If anybody would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. And because Mr. Freddie prayed, the light stays on for him. So if he's trying to be able to interject anything into the lesson, I wouldn't be able to know. So, Mr. Freddie, I'm going to open up your mic, and if you would like to say something, you can, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But there's no other way for me to know if you would want to, except I do this, because your mic became open when you did the prayer. So, Mr. Freddie, I'm going to just open your mic just in case you had something else to say.
Thank you, Sister Diane. I definitely enjoyed the lesson for this evening. And God definitely revealed what I'm going through. Because, you know, me being a man of God, I do need to hold on. My faith do get, but I do trust him. And I one thing that I do learn is that, like Job, I know a lot of things get taken from me. And I'm always thinking I'm by myself. But the one thing that I do know that if I don't have anybody, I have God. And if Jesus wouldn't have done what he's done for me, I don't know about you or anyone else, but I don't know where I would be. I really don't, because I'm a testimony that I know that God has power. And this lesson was definitely for me. It seems like every time I go through something, either through a Bible study or through that service for Sunday, the message is about what I just went through the whole week. So I know God has talked to me tonight, and I just thank you for the love and allowing me to be a part of this. And I will continue to be a blessing and be a part of this also. Thank you, my sister.
And thank you, Mr. Freddie. You know, all of us have trials and tribulation, you know, and as the lesson closed, you know, it said that God, that, you know, Job just couldn't, you just can't comprehend all of the things of God. You know, and we got some of the surface. You know, the Bible said that God is light, and they use that attribute of light for God because it says that God reveals himself to us as much as he wants to. In other words, God only allows us to know what we know, but what we know is enough to carry us through. But, you know, some people don't take the time to know. But God is truly in the blessing business. And, you know, some things happen in our lives, and all of it is to give God glory. So I just tell everybody tonight to be encouraged that God is not through with none of us as of yet. And God will and God can take care of us totally. And he wants to. And he's willing and he's able. That's our lesson for tonight. No one else has pressed the button to say anything. And I guess we could have a prayer. And then it's 9:30, and I try to stop 1 hour, and we'll have a closing prayer, and then we'll I'll play the music, because a lot of people stay on and hear the music, because there's a message in the music, and the music will play as long as you guys continue to listen. But if I'm going to ask again, anybody would like to lead us out in prayer for tonight, you could press the one button on your phone. And since that didn't happen, we're going to go ahead to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your word, your will, and your way. Thank you for each and every person that called in tonight, and thank you for the caller that led us in prayer, and thank you for the brother that had his testimony to say, dear God, and that just helped us to affirm that you are truly in a business, in a blessing business, and we say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. Thank you, dear God, for being a true and living God. Thank you for having all power in your hand, God. Thank you for being a God that don't have to answer for what he do, why he do it, or how he do it, God. Thank you for being the one that he orchestrates and allows everything to happen, that kind of God. Thank you for being our rock and our shield, that kind of God. Thank you for being our beginning and our end, that kind of God. Thank you for being holy and perfect, that kind of God. Thank you for your unchanging hand, that kind of God. Thank you for being one that can't lie, kind of God. Thank you for being a God that'll never leave us nor forsake you. Thank you, dear God, for being that God. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be your children. Thank you, for dear God, for your many bountiful blessings. I pray that everyone that's tuned in and those who have the desire, the ones who may be listening on the internet, I pray that you find favor in their life, dear God. Build a fence around them, dear God, as they go on through this week. Take away sorrow, dear God. Take away pain, dear God. Bless their finances, dear God, and touch their health. Lord, we know you're a healer and a way maker. Lord, we know you're the greatest banker there ever is, because they say the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof in the world, and they that dwell therein, that kind of God. And, Lord, I'm going to just say thank you. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you honor, and I'm going to give you praise, because you're worthy. There's no other God like you. Thank you for letting us look at the life of Job and let us learn from that of what we must do or should not do. Lord, I pray that the word that went forward, that it won't return void, and it will accomplish the intended purpose that you set out for it to do. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you, dear God, and all these blessings I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. It's still not too late for someone to say something if you like. If not, I'm going to put on some music. And I think right now this is something that's needed in times like these. Y'all, there's so much going on. On every side, there's trouble. The lady called me a little while ago and told me that their 13-year-old cousin was found dead under a bridge or somewhere across the river, 13 years old. Come on now. There's something on every side tearing people down. You know, people, finances is messed up, and they feel they can't make it. But God is in control, and Satan can't do nothing unless God allow him. But we got to hold on to his unchanging hand. And every time we feel like we can't go on, hold on to the confession of our faith. So at this time, I think this record is appropriate. It says, you know, sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And this is Encourage Yourself.
We'll be right back.
Well, that record is not playing, so let me get another one.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there.
I'm going to stop the music right now. We have a caller that has pressed the one button. I don't know if it's by mistake or they would like to have something to say. Caller, your number is 504-250. Your mic is now open and you may speak.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. I had pressed it earlier and I was satisfied for not to be. I say, well, it's not for me to say, but I just thank God to Jesus, and I thank God that the song, that sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. Sometimes we have to speak victory for ourselves, no matter how we feel. Speak the word, and we'll be healed. So we got to speak over ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord, because sometimes that's all you have. And sometimes, folks, you just don't want me telling everybody, you know, what you're going through. But I know one thing, God sees it all, and he say, he haven't seen the righteous forsaken us, he begging bread. I am still holding on. I have been going through, and I get to the point where I say, oh, I say, but it's only a test. It's only a test. And I thank God that I know him. I know him today for myself. And I thank God, you know, for the Job experience, because sometimes I'm saying, like, wow, okay, you know, and I know the story of Job. Been knowing that since I was small, but it hit home to me now, because, like, I was trying to say, now, okay, now I'm doing this. I said, well, I must have ain't did that, but Lord, whatever it is, please reveal it to me so I can get it right, because I don't want to lose out the kingdom. I don't know about nobody else, but I know that the insurance policy with Jesus, you got to worry about it. It's not going to go up, and you won't lose it. All you have to do is do what thus saith the Lord. Obey his commandments and his word with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes help us with our attitudes, you know, and that was what was the problem with Job, was his attitude. People say, oh, no, he didn't do nothing, but he went through us. Yes, he did. His attitude, that's why we can't be arish and pompous and think, oh, we arrived and nobody else can get there, but God can bring you up and he can bring you down. But one thing, if you're holding on, if you're down, he's going to bring you through. And I'm still holding up. I'm still holding on to God's unchanging hand. Raw trials and tribulations, persecution, I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I thank God for the word. I thank God for reiterating it, because, you know, some people say, oh, I heard that. I know that. I've been through that. But guess what? I needed that. I needed that. I was in Sunday school lesson, but I didn't get it like I got that. See, people don't realize
hallelujah.
That God's going to give it to you. He give it to you, and sometimes he give you some more. And you don't have to understand. Like I said, I've been knowing this since I was a child, knowing this because I've been in church 24/7 when I was a child. And so, you know, I know the story, but it's hitting home to me. And then Sunday, you know, hope satisfied. You know, I was in Sunday school lesson, but it didn't hit me like it hit me tonight. It was another, you know, more revealing, more understanding. You know, even though I was satisfied to say, well, Lord, I said, let me make sure I don't do this and I don't do that. Let me do this, do that. You know, and I've been making baby steps, but I'm still blessed. I'm still blessed. I say that I had to write down what I'm grateful for and what I'm thankful for at 1 p.m. every day with another. I thank God. Just take that time out to just thank God for. Just thank him. Just thank him. It's a thankful time. Thank him at 1 o'clock every day. And everybody just thanking God for what he has done. You thank him for what he has done and what he's Go on to doing like you said. When you make you be faithful over small things, and he'll bless you to be over many things. I may not be saying that correctly, biblically correctly right now, but the thing is for us to be grateful for where we are, because God will restore and you will recover if we stay in his word and just keep on holding on. I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm still holding on. And I'll never let go of his hand. And I like I said, I thank you for even the song. But I had that, I said, well, it ain't for me to say nothing, but it must be for me to say something, whoever it is and whoever it goes to. That's what God told me to say, is that keep on holding on. And he's going to help us on the way, you know, and step by step. Every time I hear it, he'll come out how the bills do and this do, and he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. We just have to be faithful. And love you.
And I thank
love you.
Thank you for the Bible study. Thank you, Miss Josie, Lil Josie Tompkins. And the scripture that you said, you know, it was good enough. We knew what you were saying, but I'm able to give it to someone else who may have wanted it. For those who have your paper and your pencil and your Bible, that scripture, that's Matthew 25:21. And it reads, "The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You see what I'm saying? So what that's talking about, being faithful. Being faithful with God put in your hand. Don't be slothful. God cannot stand slothful people. And our job is to be, when it's all said and done, that God be able to say, "Thy good and faithful servant. Well done."
Praise
so, Sister Josie, Lil Josie Thompson, I thank you for calling in. I thank you for listening. I have another way to go into the studio as far as music, and the Encourage Yourself is still just on my heart. So I'll be able to play it through another device. So I'm going to see if it'll come on, and after that we'll go ahead and end the program. If someone wants to continue to listen after that, if you stay on, I'm going to keep playing music. Love you. Hold on. You feel And as we close tonight, as we close tonight, I just pray that each and every one of you be encouraged. I pray that you be encouraged, and as you go through the week, and God be with you. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. Looking forward to being, next Wednesday, I'm not going to be with y'all, and it really saddens my heart. But the Wednesday after that, I'll be back. I won't be back the Wednesday coming up, but I'll be back the next Wednesday. And I pray that each and every one of you be blessed. And I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Good night, and be blessed. Thank you.